Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and I am excited about this show. I think it's going to be an amazing conversation. We are in the third invitation of the five invitations, discovering what what death can teach us about living fully. And we are in the third invitation. And we've been kind of talking, we were actually talking before the show started about, how do we, do the warm-up show and what does that look like and things like that. And we're looking at things for the future about, if you're really into that, we can be sharing some stuff. It's always with all these new things where with Patreon is just going on. We're going to be having a lot of offers and things like that coming in the fall. So you get to get kind of into a little bit more of the conversations that we have going on. But we've got Miss Amy tonight. Hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm excited about tonight. We're invitation 3, and the focus is on bring your whole self to the experience. And For me, I'm supporting a lot of people in crisis. And instead of being in a fix-it or rescuing mode, being whole to them, to this experience, which is pretty, it's challenging.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can't even imagine. And we've got Miss Alana going on here. Miss Alana, how are you doing?
I'm really great. Thank you. I am also excited for tonight. I find this topic tonight very personal and just so relevant to today, and I'm very excited. Had a good day. My daughter's been ill several times this last 6 months, and she took her to the doctor again today, so had a great experience at our physician's office, and so this totally plays right into it. And so just I'm thrilled with this today. I'm so glad that we're having this book study.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, because it's really one of those things where, gosh, if you can take this information and really fold it into your life, present day, let me be in the moment, and how does that help me to be that much more aware? I got a lot of insights on this chapter as well, and I'm sure that'll be coming out as we kind of talk about everything. We're going to go ahead and talk about the flower power wisdom moment and what came for me. I'm just kind of talking about this, don't be a role, be a soul with a calla lily. And a lot of people don't know it, but a calla lily actually isn't really a lily. It's actually in the philodendron family. So it's got this sense of people thinking that I'm something that maybe I'm not. And it's been perceived of one person decided that that's what they are. And then from, we've got this perpetual, oh, that's a calla lily. When, no, that's a philodendron. Going on with all that. So I think it makes it really interesting to be looking at it. And one thing I really love about calla lilies is they love to live near water, and they actually will live in water without even any soil. So I always think of water as working and living in their emotions, and somebody being very comfortable with their self and being, and when you ever talk about, don't be a role, be a soul. I really think that when you're coming from your soul place, there's just this fluidity that comes with everything that you do. And you allow yourself to just to move in something that hopefully feels a little easier for you. And it's that, you can take that deep breath and just know that you're being carried by something bigger than yourself. It can be really something that's real interesting with that. And calla lilies are really known for being holy and pure and having this faithfulness about them. And, a lot of people, they would think of it with Easter and all that, with Easter lilies, and whether it's the calla lily or the regular Easter lily that we associate with the holiday. But it also really works with the Sacred Mother, and working with that way that it's, think of a couple hands put together and have that wholeness of that beautiful shape that it's almost like a trumpet. Sometimes they call it a trumpet lily in the way they look at that. So it's bringing those things together about looking beyond it, because a lot of people don't also know that a calla lily actually is multiple flowers. it looks like this large, just solid flower within itself. But if you go down into the stem itself, it's carrying a series of a bunch of inner flowers that are interconnected with that. And it may appear to be, you know, a larger than life and have this way, but it's actually this beautiful spiraling energy that works with it. But it also is holding so much more within it. And I really think that's something that was expressing on a soul level, that we just really, you know, in knowing a little bit more and being able to hold it in a different way, it's something that really can help us to embody something bigger than we could ever imagine. And I think that's really kind of going back to, you know, don't be a role, be a soul. So anything with that, girls, you want to share? How about you, Alana?
Oh, I just love what you put together there. It just makes me just so thankful that we put this, that we've added, that you're bringing these flower moments to us each week now, because, wow, I love that. The spiraling, you know, inner selves of a calla lily. I would never know. I'm going to have to go and, like, dissect one now and see what it's about. But
come
I,
on, like,
I mean,
no, don't cut me up in. Okay, no. How about you, Amy?
Oh, I thought it was interesting that they don't have to be in soil. They can just be in water. So that's mm-hmm. really shows that you can, right, you know, be you don't be stuck in a role that I have to be planted in a certain place, and that's the only way I can be.
Mhm. Mhm.
And you know what?
Think of being able to be planted in flow. How great that would be, or how great it is, actually. Yeah. It's just really awesome. So when we starting the third invitation in the first page or so, it's that bringing your whole self to the experience. I really love what Frank does at the beginning, because he talks about taking a picture. If you imagine taking a picture of yourself and then you make it into a puzzle and you would slowly put yourself together. And as you're doing that, there may be aspects of yourself that you really don't want to put into the puzzle. And pretty soon you get to this point of like, I may not even recognize myself, because those parts that are helping to identify who I really am are something that you may not want to put as a part of that full expression of yourself. So I thought that was really neat. Well, anything with that, Amy?
Right. Especially nowadays, we're all, you know, putting puzzles together in many different ways, right? And mm-hmm. and are pulling our lives apart, or well, not necessarily we are, but, you know, that what's going on in the world is. Something that we're coming to the out of the beginning here, where they're talking about Frank explains his experience with his friend John, and talking about who am I, right? What are my puzzle pieces, and how mm-hmm. John is going through this really difficult time, and he's taking care of him, you know, overnight and having to do all kinds of things, and the John that he knows isn't quite there, and he's just trying everything he can do, and he's just really struggling. And I love how he says, out of his garbled mind came a whisper, you're trying too hard. Is it John saying mm-hmm. that to Frank? And then, and I love this from Frank, and I'd love to have you guys talk about how this, you know, maybe how you've done this too. I know I have. He says, up till that point, I'd been afraid to enter the territory of helplessness where John was living, fearing I would get lost there. Instead, I stayed busy trying to be helpful, to assert myself, to hide behind my well-defined role as Mr. Hospice. So I'll go first. For me, playing the person who's got it all figured out, the person, whatever, who's the expert on how to deal with difficult situations, how to be resilient, and there are times, there's been several times, certainly even today, when I'm supporting somebody, that there really is no correct answer. And am I willing to be present with them, not knowing what the answer is?
Mm-hmm. How about you, Alana?
Oh, yeah. Just going back just to the intro, it says wholeness does not mean perfection. It means no part left out.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was so beautiful. And just so powerful, and because it's you know, when I was reading this, I got to these first two pages, and I immediately stopped and called my dear friend, and read her book. I was like, hold on, you have to have 5 minutes. I have to read you these pages, and she just started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And she was it was so powerful for her, because I mean, how many times in our lives are we trying to pick ourselves apart, you know, to get rid of the things that we don't love? And it's kind of like what he talked about. the last time we spoke was about looking into the wound, you know, and healing from in, you know, by gazing into the wound. And I just love this. And I, you know, speaking on what Amy was just mentioning, you know, I had thought that you're trying too hard was just like, yes, how many times are we just like shoving ourselves, you know, just pushing ourselves really hard and putting, you know, keeping ourselves in our roles, you know, keep pushing, and nothing's working out. And then you realize, wait a minute, you're going to have to sit down here. Like this poor, he said, you know, he wasn't even, you know, he's sitting next to the toilet and, you know, everywhere, you know, you see that in the moment, there was no separation between us. And
so
I'm
there
like,
literally was shit everywhere.
There really was shit everywhere. You know, and you're just like, yeah, man. I mean, when you feel, I love this. He was like, he had to see how his fear was triggering a sense of powerlessness, and he needed to slow it all down to soften and open to what was present instead of continuing to insist that the situation conform to my preferences. And that is so much of life, is how we are just trying to, like, we are just maintaining these rules, we are doing these things, we are, you know, in our prescriptive behaviors, like he mentioned, and then we're just, like, trying to shove it all in here, and get it done, and then we realize, okay, wait a minute, we're going to have to back off of this, we have to soften and open and be present, and then the healing flows, you know, our whole minds open up. Our, you know, all the beautiful things are allowed to happen because we let it go. We let it go and be more natural with it. So,
well, again, trying to, I don't know what's supposed to happen. I love at that same point where he says, you know, you're trying too hard. He said, I stopped, sat down beside the toilet, and began to cry. And he said, we cried, and after a while, we laughed at the complete absurdity of our situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you know,
it got real,
like,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Then you had to like be like, okay, this is what we're trying to do. This is how many times do we try to cope with our pain through humor, you know, or look back and see the ridiculousness of our actions through a stressful time, and we look back and laugh at it, you know, and it's just, yeah. I love every piece of this section. Well, how about you, Robin? What was your Where are you at with this?
Well,
with this
I agree with everything else that you guys have said. At the end of it, he says the situation would show us what to do next, and I think that's so important for us to just be able to just trust that, you know, in every moment I can just show up, and in doing that, I don't feel like I have to have, like we're saying, I, you know, need to control because I feel so frustrated and I don't know what to do. Or I'm afraid and I don't know what to do. I think that's just so good. He said, we couldn't see the road through until I relaxed my identification with the caretaking role and allowed my helplessness to enter the room. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, very, very, very deep and very powerful. Yeah. It was just, you know, I was the same way. I read that and I go, I want to share this with a couple people.
Well,
this is a really good, this is a great story.
We don't need to get into the story of it, but I know all three of us, we talked about our day before we started, that'd be the before show, right? And there were many things that happened where we really had no control. We could have pretended like we did, didn't, but the three of us are really good at going, all right, let's breathe through this, let's really be with this and put down, you know, this role and be and allow the thing to show us what to do.
I love that. You know how that totally goes with this paragraph on page 120 at the bottom. He says, when we over-identify with a role, it defines us, confines us, and reduces our capacity for conscious choice. And so, like, it's so good. I mean, every piece of this is like pudding in your mouth. It's just so good. I love every part of
that. That. Pudding in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we're talking about looking at the third invitation, and there's just so much within this invitation. We're actually breaking it into a part one and a part two because we just didn't want to try to rush through something that really needs to be, you know, we had to be able, just like you said, be able to be vulnerable, be able to sit in the room with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a perfect way of being able to say some of the different things that are these big ahas. Because like we had talked before, this book is one of those ones that there it's like, what didn't I underline in this book? Because there's so many great things to be able to embrace these things. Yeah.
And we want you, you know, you to you certainly do this for yourself. We hope that we're giving you some ideas of how to play with this. But also, you know, get a friend, get a group of friends, and really talk about how does this impact me? How do I do this? On page 122, the sentence saying, helping can be egotistical or altruistic motivated. And so I think we have to look at that. You know, where, why am I helping? What, you know, what is my motive here? Not from a judging yourself or somebody else, but that's when you can tell I'm not really being present. Right, I'm trying to. I have an agenda, and what you know, what is that agenda?
Right. You know, I think Amy, you know this about me, and I think Robin might know about this too, about me too. The last out of three of the last 5 years, I spent working with a licensed therapist who was writing a book on physicians and healing physicians, because physicians had are the most at risk group for suicide. Out of everyone who, especially medical students. And this was just like, every piece of this, I was like, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, you know, this yeah, I've seen that. But it wasn't you can say, oh, there's these statistics, right? But when you have somebody's so many real-life experiences, like this therapist had 35 years of working with physicians in group therapy, and they explained these same problems, these, you know, standing, you know, keeping your fear well concealed behind a white coat, you know, not identifying with a patient, not allowing yourself to be human in the healing space. You miss out on opportunities for not just healing the patient, but healing for yourself. And I just love that work is, you know, it's still out in all these places now. People are starting to, you know, realize this in healing spaces, and seeing the need to not push down our fear as physicians or healers, right? But to then also as patients to accept it, you know, to accept the healing, and not to stay in the and not just say, oh, the doctors have all the answers, you know, to stand in your own power. And connect with your own emotions and own feelings, and you know that's what he said when he's like, they were chasing him all about the hospital, and he's like, "Leave me alone, let me be with this. I've been trying to get access to my feelings for days, and I'm finally here. Let me be with myself." I mean, gosh, so many times you're in a situation where you need some healing, and everyone has a solution, or you are the project, you know?
Oh,
and
wow!
You buy into it, and you can't get into the, you know, you need just to be left alone from it to connect with yourself on that, you know?
Well, one of the things that our dear Kelly Kapsar, you know, has trained me to do is to make soul time during my week, which is time just to let my soul catch up with me.
Right. Yes.
Because we're so busy doing, you know, right? Oh, my God.
Yes. I love it. It says soul is about presence. That's what I have underlined in here, Amy. So, yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
Like,
yeah.
Catching up with your soul. I love that. Yay, Kelly.
Yeah, because it seems right. All of a sudden you're like, who am I? You know, and I think that's right. If you don't take the time to do that, like Peter Pan, the shadow escaped, right? You have to go find your shadow and bring it back. And page 128, this is so profound. I've read this before, and this is something that really changed how I am with people that I'm supporting. He talks about caregiving often turns into helping and fixing. And then this is Rachel Naomi Remen says, better than anyone, helping, fixing, and serving represent three different ways of seeing life. When you help, you see life as weak. When you fix, you see life as broken. When you serve, you see life as whole.
Yeah.
Fixing and helping are draining. Over time, we may burn out, but serving is renewing. And like, wow. So if you're feeling drained when you're supporting others, you need to look at, am I trying to fix? Am I trying to help? or am I being of service?
Right.
That's a really good way of being able to, you know, do a touchstone of, like, where am I?
Would somebody like to read that sentence, try it sometime? I think that is that paragraph, try it sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can get it.
Try it sometime.
Try it sometime. Sit with another without a solution to their problem, without playing a role. No analyzing, no fixing, no meddling, no mending. Listen generously, as if the other person has all the resources they need inside of them. Just respect and receive what is being offered. It's not even important that you understand. Imagine or listen presence is enough, exactly what is needed. Often a receptive silence heals more than all the well-meaning words. Yeah, that's awesome.
We need to put that on the wall. That's a good, like, I'm going to put that on the wall and remember that.
Well,
I think
we'll
put it on
a pillow,
but, you know. I know. Hey, it is. That's awesome. That's very, very good. You know, and I think that's something that's been a real, you know, I love sharing about, you know, food as medicine and all these other things. And so, you know, when you hear people talking about different kinds of stuff, Frank had really good advice. He's just like, well, I have some ideas about that. Can I share them with you? And if they say no, don't take it personally. It's like, okay. You know,
yeah.
That's a really good touchstone when it comes to something like that. Because, you know, mama knows that she can help you. Chicken soup. You know, well maybe not.
Maybe.
You know,
mama
I love that you said that, Janelle. Oh, I love that you said that. Because my kid, as I was reading these few pages, I just kept thinking of my children, and especially my teenagers and young adults. You know, sometimes they come to me and they say, oh, I have a headache, or, oh, I have, you know, whatever, my stomach hurts, or what have you. And then I immediately go through the mom questions, right? Like, when's the last time you had something to drink? Have you been to the bathroom recently? Did you take an ibuprofen? You know, like, all these things, right? You know, are you tired? Have you stared at a screen too long? You know, like, I start listing out all the things that they are doing that, you know, they could have done to fix themselves, or could have done to cause this ailment upon themselves. And so they come to me now and they say, mom, I don't want you to fix anything. They'll come to me first. I've already drank the water. I've already did the ibuprofen. I've already just went to the bathroom. My stomach still hurts.
Oh, that's so good. Oh my God.
Can you just give me some love? I'm just needing some hugs and you to sit with me that moment. Right. And trying to learn to do that is so important for our kids too. And for people that we're with, it's that, we don't have to fix everything. We can just care and be there and show up for them.
Well, and they can go to WebMD for that stuff. They need mom love.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, I think the important thing on the sentence, too, you know, it says that, you know, imagine this person has all the resources they need inside of them. And they do.
Yes. Yes.
So it's really teaching people to, like, you know, well, what do you think? How do you feel? What are you thinking that you're sensing that you need to do? And it's really just inviting them to go internally for the conversation.
You're helping empower them. They have to empower themselves,
right.
But you support them in doing that. So leading into the mindset moment, Alana, on page 130, the 1, 2, 3, third paragraph that starts at authenticity. Would you mind reading that paragraph? Then I can jump into the mic.
I love that you asked me to do that because I have that whole paragraph underlined.
I knew you would.
Authenticity requires trust in a deep inner wisdom and the willingness to bring that wisdom into conscious action. Wisdom is not about age or expertise, tools or roles. I have a lot of tools that I have collected over the years, but in serving, I don't lead with my tools. I find that if I start pulling those tools out and setting them down between myself and my client, then one of us is sure to trip over them. So instead, I lead with my humanity.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's it right there.
Yeah.
Right, whether we're helping them with their marketing or their career or helping them to bring experience flowers to a funeral, right?
Yeah,
That's what we gift them. Stepping into the mindset moment, what came to me was to really look at, and what a lot of this is deep listening. And research says that people, when they're asked about, do you listen, 75% of people say, yes, I really listen. And when they actually study, it's about 25% actually listen. So I think if you want to improve any relationship, anything that you're doing, if you learn to become a really deep listener, that it improves everything. A resource that I love is Alan Alda's book, If I Understood You, What I Have This Look on My Face, and his podcast. They're clear and vivid, and it's all about communicating effectively. And one of the things that he says that I absolutely love, how do I know if I'm listening? He says, I know I'm listening if I'm willing to be changed in the conversation. So I think that's a really good acid test. Am I willing to let go of my agendas? Am I willing to let go of my fixing and rescuing? Can I really be present with this person? So I want to share an exercise that I do with really any group. I don't care what age, with the boardroom, the classroom, doesn't really matter. And it's like, I want you to sit with a minute, and I want you to be with somebody that was a really great listener in your life. Could be a coach or a parent, could be a friend, could be somebody you saw on TV, might even be somebody that you know. So I want you to think, what are some of the attributes of that person that was a really good listener? So Alana or Robin, anybody?
Go ahead, Lana.
Okay. Yeah, I can go. So I was thinking of this woman that I met. I used to do community theater with my children, and she was a director of community theater. And she was she's a therapist. She's worked with children. She's actually traveled with children. Was a therapist for children and families in the service. All around the world. And so what I loved about Nancy was that she would sit quietly, and then she just completely would validate your feelings. And but she was like, if I think of her characters, I think mentor, I think kindness, thoughtfulness, creatively found ways to serve. And so I just think of all those characteristics, I just really appreciated her. My kids call her Granny Nancy now, because they love her so much. And so, yeah, that person that, you felt seen in Nancy's presence. And so I love that.
Beautiful. Thank you, Miss. And Robin, how about you? Somebody who's a deep listener, what are some of the things about them that make them a great listener?
Yeah, and mine was a little more like I had a lady named Peggy that was in one of my business networks for a long time when I was younger, and I really looked to her as a mentor because she was very great at being a leader, but she was always also a very deep listener in the way she would really take on whatever people were saying and was very minimal in the amount of response. People knew that she was really listening, but when she spoke about, whatever was being shared, it was just coming from a very deep place. She really honored people and was very creative, but she also was in a place where you know that you were really heard and valued for just being there.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So it was really helped me to want to be like that as a facilitator and a leader.
Perfect. So your homework assignment, your mindset moment is to take some time, and a great way to do this is get a piece of paper in the center, write a circle about the size of a quarter and write, great listener, and think of a person that really made you feel heard and seen and valued and appreciated. And what did they do? How did they do that? And then that can give you some ideas and some things that maybe you want to work on to be the best deep listener that you can be.
You know who else is a very good listener? And you had him on the show recently, Reginald Wesley.
Yes,
I mean, amazing listener and really sees you. And I just thinking about that, just somebody just, you know, you feel really good about too. That was somebody, he's like kind of a Mr. Rogers in a way, you know, the way communicates and connects with people. And so that's another person.
Such a gift. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm excited for part two. We're going to be getting about taming our inner critic. So that ought to be really interesting. The quote on that for the inner critic was just really great about talking about being in a place where your children will basically be that voice when you hear what they have to say on different things about, you know, what have you said about them. And I think that was great. It says the way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice. I'm like, wow, that's very profound. And I think that's true besides just our children, just the people that we, you know, it's that six people, you know, who are the six people in your life that you really spend a lot of time with and connected with and kind of notice the vocabulary and the conversations that you have with each other. It can be very telling being able to do that. So we'll be looking at that next week. And we want to be thanking our sponsors, Miss Amy. Amy's at amyfrost.com. So Amy's in the middle of writing a book that's called Workaholic's Guide to Resilience at Work, Life with Work, Harmony and Love and all that good stuff. And Amy, when do you think that book's going to come out?
I'm saying 2021.
Okay, 2021. Just in time for Christmas.
There you go. That's it.
You can get it pre-ordered. And we'll have that available next fall. You can get a signed copy before it's available on Amazon. There you go.
I'll put it out there for that too.
Yeah. And I mean, Amy's really great if anybody's looking for just being able to have a balance of, you know, reaching within yourself and also outside yourself to being in a place that you can really, really know that you're heard. She's a spiritual counselor and just an amazing at how she's really there for people. So again, that's Amy at amyfrost.com. And Alana. Alana has Provider Marketing Group. And I have to say that she makes it so easy, thoughtful, and very deep in the way that she looks at, you know, how do I represent my client and have them be in a way that really helps people to know them in the world. And she's got some savviness to her to really help you get out there and make sure that people can really see you, whether it's a website helping you do like we're doing where we have some online stuff with Facebook and things like that. She can really help you with any of those things that you want to be creating. And she's very great at brainstorming and helping you thinking outside the box. So if you're thinking about just even want to toy around with the idea of like, you know, yeah, what would I want to be doing maybe next year? That's a great time to be setting those things in motion and have it where you can be helping it to be developing into its full self. And you can go to Alana at providermkg.com and have that be something where people can get that. And then also flowers for you. If you need any flowers, in the California area, Riverside, Inland Empire. We also go all over the world. So if there's some place that you'd like to be sending flowers to tell somebody that you want to send them a smile and be in a place of celebrating life, that's something we can take care of for you. And that's at riversideflowersforyou.com. We can be help you with that as well. And if you are interested in any kind of flower reading, you can go ahead and reach me at Flower Synergy Robin at robinsevage.com. That's something you can go ahead and be contacting that man. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Great talk.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, guys,
yes.
Let's go ahead and be out there and getting ready for our inner critics. Woohoo.
All righty.
I'm just going to be dancing with my calla lily. That's good.
That's right. You're wearing a calla lily and have it on your chest as you're laying down. I don't know. That could be scary.
Yeah, why not? Growing in the water. Have a great week.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.